Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity. Welcome to this Thursday edition of the Weekly Conversation. I'm the man with the mic, Kyle. Tonight on the conversation, I actually went to AU, out by, like Arizona, in that area. They went to college students and asked them, Fidel Castro or Trump, who's better? One lady had a good response. Not perfect, but she was the best out of all that they found. I'll get into that in my thoughts. Really, with what we've seen in the last year or so, you shouldn't be surprised with who they selected, folks. Also, who asked in 2006 that the president should pass a law that criminalizes the burning of the American flag and now thinks it's freedom of speech? A North Carolina school board has actually upheld a 10-day suspension of a high school teacher who is actually shown stepping on the American flag during a First Amendment lesson. There are people wanting him fired over that. I'll get into that. Ford and Carrier and possibly Nabisco is looking at bringing jobs back. We know Carrier is, Ford is, but Nabisco is wanting to talk to the president of possibly bringing jobs back to Chicago. He's not even president and he's already getting work done. Go figure. And what do the liberals think about all these jobs coming back to Indiana, my home state? 1,100. I'll get into that. It's nuts. As a foodie and a chef, it is sad news in the food world. As probably one of the most iconic sandwich makers and inventors has passed. Also, I love NASCAR, and there's many reasons why, and what's going on with Tennessee just makes you love NASCAR even more. Also, I'll get into the League Cup action the other day with Manchester United and the Wolves, what happened, and some upcoming Premier League action. So thank you for joining me for the conversation that I hope you're a part of, folks. Psalms 42:11. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again. My Savior is my God. Psalms 42:11, the encouraging word of the day. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you've had a great couple days since Tuesday. It's been interesting. It really, because I had the day off, so when I wasn't, I got laundry finished. It's just got to be folded and stuff. And I spent a part of the day with my mom, and good to see her. And we were watching the news, and it's just when they're bringing jobs back and he's doing stuff and they're dissing him. What did I say the other day? What would it take for Trump to be praised? Nothing. Nothing. I was watching Tucker on Fox the other day, and they had Jill Stein's campaign manager on there saying that, well, they're still on this recount BS. Seriously. They are still going off on this recount. It's going to cost taxpayers upwards of $12 million for recounting these states again and again. And they're like, well, Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Michigan, they've been, those computers, those voting machines were proved to be hacked, and they could have been hacked, and we got to be counting. You know, gee, what was Hillary Clinton saying? Donald Trump's not going to accept the results of the election. Yada, yada, yada. It's a democracy. You're going to have winners. You're going to have losers. When it comes down to it, as a democracy, you have to accept the election. Is she doing that? Heck no. What did she tell us? Just go back. We'll start fresh in the morning. Go home. She deserted her supporters like she deserted those four in Benghazi. And you wonder why people are voting for Trump. He was in a he was at a thank you rally in Ohio twice. Were they chanting Trump? They weren't chanting Donald Trump. They were chanting USA, USA, USA. Because it's not about Trump, folks. All my listeners out there, sorry to burst your bubble. It's not about Trump. It's about America. He can bring back all the jobs he wants. If no one wants to work, if everyone just wants to collect a check, like a lot of these people do in the suburbs, you know, all I have to do, since I got four kids, I get a job. Then I just they let me go. When they let me go, I get unemployment. And since I got these kids, they can't take the unemployment away. So I'm just going to sit home and do nothing and just collect a check. How's that going to make America better? You know, we used to be a nation of, I want to build, I want to do, I want to work with my hands. I want to say, look at that chair. You see those chairs? Go into Wendy's. All those chairs, I helped build those. Not no more. Not no more. Not no more. Now it's, look at the freebies. Look at the freebies. Look what I get. You know, like my mom said today, a president, like what did John F. Kennedy say when he was getting his inauguration speech? Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country, what you can give back, what you can. Not now. It's what can they give me? What am I going to get? Where's my free healthcare? Where's my free college? Where's my free food? Where's my free everything? See, I need to have a food stamp card that I can go and swipe with my dealer. So he can have like one of those like square things on his phone, and I can just swipe my EBT card and I can get my crack, whatever I need, you know? I mean, seriously, food stamps used to be for bread, eggs, milk, and cheese. And you didn't want to be on that stuff. It was like, how would you say it? Like you were looked down upon because you were on that. You wanted to be someone that was, hey, I make enough money to provide for my family. Now you have to have 25 jobs just to try to make it. Yeah. Well, Trump's just going to, day one, get rid of Obamacare. No, he's not. He's going to, on day one, he's going to get rid of the individual mandate, so you don't have to have the insurance. So if you've got it, you can use it until they come up with something better. They've already proven that it's going to have to be reworked entirely if you're going to keep this Obamacare. They'd have to fundamentally transform it, basically. There were a lot of people that voted for Obama the first time around, and then when they go, yeah, we got change, we got, yeah, he's different. He sounds, he's going to be a cheerleader. And then when they found all this stuff that they thought he was going to be, turned out to not be the case, guess what happened? They didn't vote for him the second time around. They were in Arizona, and they asked all these college kids, Trump or Fidel Castro? Who would you choose? Well, I think Fidel Castro has done a lot for, you know, he's been around a lot longer than Trump, and you know, he's done a lot of contributions for the world, and I think he's a great guy. One lady said, "Well, I don't know much about Trump because he hasn't done much, but I will say that Castro was a bad man." One person knew that Trump was very evil. That was about censorship. And, you know, this is what you're going to believe. This is what you're going to do. I'm going to tell you how to live. You're gay. You're going into a concentration camp. You'll probably get executed, but. It's funny that these liberals will praise somebody who goes against probably everything they believe. So you support gays. So you think it's wrong at this bakery refused to make a gay person a cake? Yeah, that's totally wrong. Well, you just supported a guy that would kill him. They don't. Yeah, they don't know history. They don't. What are they teaching nowadays? Okay, folks. I think we need to get like Kim Il Sung to run America, because he's done such a great job in North Korea. You know, I mean, look at that. I've seen videos where they get to go to a brewery and they get to have like a beer. You know, I mean, their dear leader is great. You know, his kindness to be able to give those people beers. I mean, gee, I mean, wow. I saw, and that's one thing. I mean, another thing great about North Korea is I saw where these guys went over there and spent like a week there. And when they were there, they went to this hospital, and not but an hour ago, there was like thousands of people that were had surgeries and stuff done, and they got them all out and everything. There was no one in that hospital by the time they got there. Within like an hour, they were able to get thousands of people surgeries in and out and gone. That's a miracle. It's a joke, folks. There was no one at that hospital. They're just told to say that they had all these people in the hospital and it was busy and they got them in and out and bang. There was no one there. My hospital could have me the only patient there and I would take longer than that. Hey, it's free healthcare in North Korea. Food's free too, probably. If you can get any. I don't understand where these people are. Yep, Fidel Castro. Yep, he's great. Trump. Yep, whatever. I don't get it. I just don't understand. I mean, but see, this is why Trump is resonating with people. You go back to him on CNN with Larry King Live back in 86. He was talking about we need to put America first. We need to quit spending millions of dollars and millions of dollars and millions of dollars and millions of dollars on these countries that hate us. We're not going to make them like us. And guess what? We're just going to fall apart here at home. You know? Oh, we gotta help out Saudi Arabia. Here's a couple $100 million. But guess what? You know, our roads are falling apart. People are without work. Vets aren't getting taken care of. Who cares about them? You know, we gotta help these countries that don't really care about us. And he said that his message has never changed. What he said he wanted to do back in 86 hasn't changed. He became president because when Mitt Romney left, he went to the lady who had become his campaign manager said, okay, I want you to look into the viability of me actually being able to run for president and possibly winning. He started back then. His message has never changed. You look at someone like Hillary Clinton, she was 100% for TTP. Now she's against TTP. She used to be against gays. Now she's for gays. She wanted to segregate America, resegregate it with Barry Goldwater. Now she likes blacks. At least in person, behind the scenes, it's probably a whole nother situation. You know, what she says on camera is probably different than what she says off camera. You know, she loves Mexicans and all these things. And I mean, she's changed her story every which way to get votes. Trump hasn't changed. At least if it doesn't work 100% like he wanted, hey, this was his message. This was his belief. This was his ideal from day one. He didn't try to say, I want to do this, I want to do that, just because it's going to get him votes. Wow. Go back to 2006. This person was like, we need to have the president, Mr. President, we need to pass a law criminalizing the burning of the American flag. That same person is Hillary Clinton that thinks that that's, well, so, you know, they have the right to do that because that's actually a freedom of speech. Sorry, folks. You can freedom of speech all you want, but you're going to burn the very symbol that gives you the right to have that freedom. You have freedom of speech because of the American flag. You have freedom of speech because of the Constitution. You have rights because of the Constitution. Our country is not perfect. You have the right to protest. And you and if you disagree, okay, you can peacefully protest. You don't burn the American flag. Millions of men have died to protect your idiocracy of, I'm going to burn the American flag, I'm going to stomp on it because Trump got president, that's bullcrap. Because I wanted Hillary Clinton in there. You know, she was going to give us all this free stuff, man. I wasn't going to have to pay for school or food or nothing, man. What the hell? I was going to be able to live in my parents' basement forever. Now I'm going to actually have to get out and actually get a job, and it might actually mean that I go to a trade school and learn how to use my hands to weld or maybe make furniture or do something with my hands, not just sit in an office. I was hoping I could just sit in some cush office like Trump does all day. Yeah, like Trump, really, I don't believe you. I wonder if that guy sleeps. I wonder if that guy's going 24/7, 365. He's a billionaire, like I've said millions of times. He don't have to do nothing. He could just sit on a beach earning 20%. Nope. He's bringing jobs back to this country. Well, of course, anyone's going to bring jobs back to this country if they're going to get like $7 million. Gee, it's called incentives, just like they gave incentives to move jobs overseas. He's giving incentives to bring it back, just like Obama did with Solyndra. Gee, I wonder how well that went over. Yeah. Oh, I know. How many trillions in stimulus bills did he have? And okay, guess what, folks? Here's $40 million to put windows in a building that's abandoned. They basically built the thing and it's abandoned. And what they probably did is they probably built the thing for like $20,000, the whole project, and then they kept the rest of the money. And then like a UFO explanation, we need to put new windows in this building, so we're going to give a ton of money to put windows in this building, and the money's not really going to do that. Someone else is just going to spend it. He's got to give kickbacks. And in the process, they have an explanation, even though it doesn't make any sense at all. Those stimulus bills were like UFO explanations. 99% of them didn't make a lick of sense. Well, folks, we saw the object go up, and you're saying it was a meteor. Meteors come down. I've never heard of a meteor going back up. Yeah, it was a meteor, folks. That's what you saw in the sky. You know, we're going to put money here and put money there, and where'd it go? Some of those stimulus packages, 40 to 50%, who knows where it went? They didn't even know. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I don't get it. A North Carolina school, this is how bad it's getting. A North Carolina school has upheld a 10-day suspension for a teacher who basically stepped on the American flag in a First Amendment lesson.
Was he teaching them, like, what? Why was he doing that?
It was the First Amendment, yeah, like the freedom of speech. You have the freedom to step on the flag and all this. It's, you know, you have that right as an American. To disrespect your nation and to disrespect your flag and disrespect the country you live in and disrespect every American soldier who came back in a coffin with that flag draped over it. You can disrespect them. You have that right. And then let me tell you, that teacher, I'd be like, okay, well, my kid's getting pulled out of school unless he's fired. Don't worry, there's been schools where they're asking teachers not to put anything up in relation to Christmas. no Santa Claus, no nothing. Because you got to be gender neutral when it comes to religions. You can't have one over the other. And like, I've had teachers that, okay, what they do is they, okay, if there's, they get anyone that's in the class, okay, are you Baha'i? What do you do at this time of year? Do you do anything? And they have stuff up for what, Christmas? They have stuff for, because she had like Jewish people. I've known people that had Jewish people in their class. And they, okay, this is the menorah. And they talk about what, yeah, they talk about everything. Okay, why do you like the menorah? And, you know, what do you do? And why do you celebrate Christmas? And what's this? And, okay, you're Baha'i. What do you celebrate? Okay, you're Muslim. What are you celebrating? And it incorporates every, because I've had friends of like, okay, well, you know, and it's just getting, and that's because I'm Christian, but I'm not going to disrespect anyone else that believes anything else. I want them to be able to talk about what they do. You know, how do they celebrate this time? Do they not do anything? He's a Jehovah's Witness. What do? Do you have any, you know? It's crazy. Everyone's getting their panties in a wad. I don't get it, you know, but then when you have liberal media trying to, you know, demonize the term redskin and illegal immigrants and all this stuff, you know, it doesn't surprise me. But what surprises me is how they're going off about this, you know, Trump, and he's bringing jobs back and creating things, and they're dissing him. I mean, it's sad. You know, Nabisco's even wanting to talk to people in the Trump administration, you know, about bringing jobs back. And it is a tough situation because you look at it like this. A carrier employee in Indiana will make $30 an hour. A carrier worker that does the job in Mexico will get $11 a day plus benefits. Anyways, it's just one of those things. It's one of those things that when you sit there and you look at it, wow. Sorry about that, folks. I think I had my phone off on mute, but I didn't. But anyways, it's my best man. But anyway, you're sitting there, and it is kind of hard. $11 a day plus benefits for an employee versus $30 an hour. You know, I can see where some people would say, well, hey, you know, that's a big savings for the company. But then you want to keep jobs here. You know, strengthen America. Have it made with pride here. And there you go. It's just one of those things that, but he's bringing jobs back here, and they're talking about bringing jobs from other companies, and they don't have anything. Well, you know, he's just trying to, you know, then you're going to have all these people that are going to be going to Trump saying, hey, well, if you give us $50 million, you know, we'll bring back, you know, this many jobs. That's not how it's going to work. He's not just going to be handing out money just to give jobs. He's like, okay. Like with Ford, he's like, here's a tariff if you don't bring jobs back. I can help you. We can give you some incentives to, okay, we can give you some tax breaks and stuff to help you, you know, whatever. But you need to reinvest in your company and reinvest in America. And there's probably going to be some stipulations to go along with getting it, to do it, you know. But it's a step in the right direction, you know, but like I've said, you know, I don't think Trump can do anything where liberal go, hey, we were wrong. He was right. I don't get it, man. I mean, I think he's doing more to create jobs and do more, I think, than Obama has done in 8 years. Anyways, it's just one of these things that for me, I see progress with him. I see him doing more than Obama did in 8 years. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he's done more than Obama did in 8 years, just in this little bit, because he's not doing, he's not like, okay, I'm going to, let's spend $80 million and let's try to create work here. No, he's bringing, he goes, this is what we're going to do. We're going to bring jobs back. This is how we're going to do it. I mean, even Obama is going, well, he can't bring jobs back. He's not going to be able to do that. What's he going to do? Well, he's done it. You know? It's just one of those things that makes you wonder what he can ever do, if anything, for the liberals to say, hey, well, we were wrong about Trump. He's doing a great job. There's about 33 minutes left in the program, folks, and I want to thank you all so much for tuning in. And, you know, it's just nice to see stuff coming back to my hometown, you know, basically damn near close to it, Indianapolis. It's great news, you know. It's just one of those things that when you look at it, you know, you got to look positive and everything, you know. We don't know what the next page is going to bring. We don't know. We just know that it's about America. It's not about one person. You know, you got to accept Trump is your president. We got to roll up our sleeves and do what we have to do to get the job done, to make this country back to what it was. Not one of these things where you have this country where it's like, no one wants to work anymore. Everyone just thinks they're owed something, you know? And I think the Democrats are really in a state of, we got to rework this whole thing. We got to figure out, okay, what do we do now? You know, because, I mean, I still have friends that are liberals that are in kind of denial. It's like, wake up. There's a reason why he got elected. And in 4 years, if he doesn't work out, then something's got to change. And we got to get someone else in there until we find the right solution. Right now, we're giving Trump that chance to see if he's the right solution. You know, we need to have term limits on congressmen and senators. Everyone else, you know, there's Democrats and Republicans both that are billionaires that are going, they're fighting back and forth, and you're losing. I don't get it. I just don't. I mean, I was brought up with my wife with a work ethic where you want something, you earn it. You bust your butt and you make it, or you do whatever. And that's how this world goes. You know? I'm a chef at trade, and this is kind of hit home to me. Probably, I don't eat meat, and I can't have wheat, you know, because I got celiac disease. But probably one of the most iconic things in this whole wide world, and you all know it, to all be patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun. The Big Mac is by far, in my opinion, the most iconic sandwich ever created. One of the most iconic sandwiches ever made. Jim Delagatti, a Pittsburgh area McDonald's franchisee owner, nearly 50 years ago created the sandwich that would change McDonald's and fast food forever. It sold so well in the Pittsburgh area at his stores that they went nationwide with it in the 60s. Has died at 98. And it's just amazing, that process. And, you know, It's an amazing sandwich that has stood the test of time. You know, they have a lot of these things where they have fad sandwiches that kind of come and go. And I remember I worked at Taco Bell and we had these extreme nachos and they had like red tortilla chips. If you read the ingredients, everything was identical except for like red colored flavorless dye. And people thought they were spicy. And I'm like, ma'am, I can get the ingredient list for both bags of chips and show you. There's only one difference, and it was like the coloring of it. I will say this. When I worked at Mason American Grill, I ran the kitchen for the owners, Brandon and Christine. It was a great place. And they went off to go to the CIA and stuff. And we came up with this pretzel bun. Let's do a pretzel bun with a hot dog in it. And we'll do mustard sauce on one side, cheese sauce on another. We couldn't give that thing away. Caramelized onion on top with a little pickle relish, with mustard and cheese sauce on both, one on each side. Like a Mornay, which is cheese sauce and mustard on there. Couldn't give it away. No one, what in the heck would you want a damn pretzel bun? Oh my God. We got the few people that ate it didn't even like it. Okay. Hey, nice try. Good. Okay, thank you. Now what do you see? Every dang restaurant in the world now has pretzel buns and pretzel this and pretzel that. And you can get, they have like, instead of breadsticks, they have like pretzel dippers. And some have like a mustard center that you dip with cheese. Some have pretzel sticks with like ham or pepperoni in them. They have pretzel buns where you get like chicken on it or hamburger, hot dog. I mean, all these, almost anything, hamburger, hot dog bun, like breadsticks, almost anything you can think of, they have a pretzel version of it. We couldn't even give it away. Now, it's like all the rage. Maybe we were just too ahead of our time. That's what someone told me. He goes, man, you were just too ahead of your time with that idea. I'm like, yeah, I guess we were. But hey, it's just, you know, when you see iconic people like Jim Delgatti that created the Big Mac, it just makes you think, you know. Something you create and something you do that just like changes the world of food, that is. Wow. Yeah. It's like Nabisco, you know? And the Oreo cookie. It used to actually be the National Biscuit Company way back in the day. And they're actually looking in Chicago bringing jobs back. Hopefully. And I will say this, though, as I'm talking about food and just anything in general, if it starts, I mean, I would get to the point, I think we will get to the point, hopefully, where there's going to be some things in America that change in terms of that. I mean, if it gets to the point where all these companies are like, well, yeah, well, okay, yeah, we need to talk about the deal. No, you need to bring jobs back to this country and help out America and... End of list. If you're going to have people that, you know, if it starts to get to be like a bidding war, okay, well, they got 4 million, so we want 5 million. No. You should want to bring back jobs to make America great. You should want to have Levi's made in America again. I saw a special one time, kind of off the subject a little bit, but kind of like, they're like factories in Mexico that make like denim, and okay, it's shipped off to this, and they may process it more, but this one factory can make like denim for like 5 or 6 different companies. So you could spend $100 for a pair of jeans and $9, and it comes from the same factory in Mexico. They just may like do a little bit more to it, you know, whatever. They may put a name on it, distress it a little bit more. You know, now you get jeans that look like what I would give the Goodwill, and they're brand new. I remember I went to a Spy City, and I went to get, like, they had, like, these corduroys. I'm like, yeah, I was wondering if I can get something off because there's some holes here. No, those are actually in there. That's manufactured. When she showed me, like, 3 pair, and they all had them in the exact same spot. I'm like, okay, normally when they would have holes in my jeans, I'd be giving them the Goodwill. Now, Now they put holes in the jeans and distress them and get $50 more. Who knew? Who knew that the jeans I would give to Goodwill back in the day, now I could probably sell them for $100 because they're probably Redline Levi's. So, hey, who knew? Go back in my DeLorean and not throw them away. I swear, it's just amazing how this world has changed. Well, look at Ohio. Look at Pennsylvania. Look at all these states that voted because they're fed up with this country and the way it's going. That's what I don't understand, how these people don't get it. You know? And my thoughts and prayers right now go out to all those that have been affected in Tennessee with the fires and stuff near Pigeon Forge and all that. And one of my greatest memories that I will take with me, because I can't take possessions, was when I took my mom and we took the Imperial Travel Trip and went down to Bristol, Tennessee for the spring race. It's cold. It's not really spring. It's cold. I remember like a year or two later after we went, it was Kurt Busch that was doing Snow Angels at Bristol. Oh, well. But anyway, we went down to Bristol, and man, if you ever get a chance in your life to go see a race, the best racetrack I've been to is Bristol. I've been to Chicagoland, Indianapolis many, many times. I mean, this next year will be 30 years I've gone to the 500. Michigan International Speedway, plus I've been to a lot of short tracks, you know. But Bristol tops them all. Incredible. Incredible, incredible racetrack, Bristol. And with these families that are affected with this, Bristol has opened up with NASCAR all the campgrounds around there. They have free flowing water. They have electricity, hookups, all this stuff. And they're offering services, and anyone that's been displaced can stay there as long as they need to, with water and electricity. And they're looking at putting in showers and stuff, temporary showers for people and stuff. And it's just how NASCAR goes out of their way. I mean, I remember when Adam Petty died and they built the Victory Junction Gang camp for like disabled people. And, you know, it was sad to see Adam Petty die. And, you know, when they did that Victory Junction Gang camp to help like a camp for like disabled kids to go and be able to have a week or two away with no care in the world, with no bills, no responsibilities. They can just go and their parents can just have some time away and they can know that their kids are in a safe place with no bills, nothing to worry about. And they can be around other kids who understand, because I have a support group and it's when you get people on there that like, I thought I was the only one that dealt with this and all this. And yes, I still run the support group of like 200 some people. So yeah, I'm a busy guy, but it's just when you're around someone that, hey, I'm not the only kid that has a wheelchair. I'm not the only kid that has this. Or that's NASCAR. And every year I get that NASCAR day pin. I've lost some of them because like the back comes off and they, you know, but I have somewhere, I have a bunch of them and I've been getting them ever since. And it's just neat to see Bristol Motor Speedway step up and they're, you know, they've got all that campgrounds to use by anyone. The people are there offering tents or RVs that they have they can use. Hey, we got a house. If you need an RV, here, you can use it. You know, the people are going out of their way, and that's the American way. It's not, well, I'm sorry your house got burnt down, but mine's right next to yours and it didn't get touched. Sorry about your luck, Charlie. No, it's, hey, we got a basement, we got beds, we got mattresses, air mats, whatever. Hey, you know, that's what it's about. You know, there was a time in this country when, hey, I'm outgrowing these my kids have outgrown these kids' clothes. Maybe your kids might be able to fit into them. And if not now, maybe in 6 months or a year, they can wear them. Thank you. Now it's, let me see what I can get for them. Let's put them on Facebook or eBay and let's see how much money I can get for these. Maybe it's a shirt that's rare that I can get a lot of money for. Who knows? Now instead of just handing it down to someone that can use it and giving back. You know? What a concept. You know, you don't need the baby stroller anymore. Give it to someone that can use it. Because let me tell you something. I guarantee you there's a family out there somewhere that probably's got a kid that's strapped for money just like you were. And you know what it's like not to have much. You know, now you got to have five jobs and, you know, just to survive. Like I said on Tuesday, show me something that's gone down in price. Cheaper now. Not a thing. Well, yeah, there is one thing. 10 nuggets for $1.49. That's Burger King, just kidding. But no, I'm serious. I went because they have, I love these. They're from a French seed. They're like grape tomatoes / like grape and cherry tomatoes that are on the vine still. And you can take the whole vine, just put it in the pan and roast them a little bit. And then you have like, you know, you take the cherries off the vine. They're incredible. They used to be five something. Now they're six something. My wife couldn't have them because they got seeds and they can get lodged and she's got all that stuff. But that's my point. They're like six something now. I was going to get some at Sam's. I'm like, nah, they're just too expensive. And I love them, but not enough to pay $6. And I'm hoping that it's just a holiday price and they go back down after the holidays. Who knows? But it is kind of nice when you have like, make some scrambled eggs and some toast and you have a little mushroom cap and you have those tomatoes and just, you know. Because I don't always have a great breakfast. Usually it's just oatmeal and yogurt or something like that. But stuff is ridiculous anymore, expensive-wise. I mean, if we keep going at this rate, you're going to have kids going, listening to a parent saying, I remember when I bought a car for $20,000. $20,000? I just paid $200,000 for my Jeep. Holy cow. That's what's going to happen. You know, you don't hear many people talking about, okay, let's make them dollar valuable again. Let's put gold and silver in our currency again. I want to have, screw the dollar bill. I want to have silver coins. And every year the coin's going to be different based on the silver value. There's going to be dollars worth of silver in that dang coin. And at times, there might be $4 worth of silver in that dollar. Now you know it's valuable. Now you take a dollar coin and you'd melt it down, you get about 2 cents worth of melt value. Because who cares? We just need to make $35 an hour and it'll fix everything. Just make a minimum wage of $70 an hour. Let's have everyone live like billionaires. Let's just give everyone $100 an hour minimum wage. Solve every problem. Until you go to try to buy a $40 hamburger. No, that'd be like a kitty shake. And a kitty fry and like a kitty burger. If you want like just a cheeseburger, it'd be about $60. But don't worry. You know, that's everyone's solution to the money issue is let's just keep increasing the minimum wage. Well, why don't we try to find a way to make the dollar stronger? Make the currency stronger so it's worth more. So stuff doesn't cost as much. Isn't that a concept? Holy. I should get a Nobel Prize for being a genius on that thinking because no one thinks like that. You know, all they do is complain because Trump's giving them incentives to bring jobs back here. Well, what do you think Obama did? Here's trillions of dollars. And this is going to be allocated to fix roads and stuff. Okay, well, don't I go through Chicago and use a toll road? And don't those toll money go to help redo the roads? Well, that's what I thought. So, okay. I can understand. Okay. Here's a restaurant. Let's put some money in it. Let's fix it up a little bit and get it going. I can understand that. But okay, when you can't really tell me where 90% of this money's going, and no one knows, even the people writing the stimuluses, shouldn't that be a clue to say hello? But don't worry, we have a nation of kids that think that Fidel Castro is like Jesus Christ. He's the greatest guy. We need to have him run as president. Folks, he can't run. He's dead, okay? Wow. I don't get it. I just don't. I'm wondering, honestly, if there's something in the water now that these kids drink. You know, is it the Monsanto pesticides? Is it the Roundup that's like getting into their brain or something? You know, I don't understand where these kids think like, oh, well, I mean, I think Stalin would make a great president if he was alive, you know. Mao, you know, I think he'd be great too, you know, Mao, you know. I think he'd be, I mean, look at what he did for that nation. Look at how many, he was a population controller. That's how he saved money. I don't understand this youth. I guess I was blessed with a father that taught me. Okay, well, are you going to follow a restaurant that's successful, or are you going to coin yourself after a restaurant that's failing? No. You need to know your history to know where you're going. You want to look at, okay, what place is successful? Dave Thomas at Wendy's didn't go, you know what? I want to create the worst burger in the business. No. He goes, I'm going to teach you today the four-corner press, because I believe it's the key to making a very good burger. You lightly salt the meat. When you press the salt into the meat, it tenderizes it, gives it flavor, it makes it more juicy. The burger sticks over the bun. We have a square burger because I don't want to cut corners. And I'm going to show you how to make what I believe is the best hamburger in the business. He didn't say, I'm going to make junk and hope you have it. I hope it tastes good and it's going to be covered in mold. Just tell them it's blue cheese. They won't know the difference. No. He strived for the best. Well, the best burger is not frozen meat. It's fresh meat shipped from a local purveyor. He wanted the best. He worked for it. I want to start a burger chain. That's what I want to do. Now, everyone's trying to play catch up with them, because even now they say, well, they have this philosophy of Wendy's. What would Dave Thomas do? He would be innovative. He would want to do something different, fresh. Just like you have fresh burgers, they have fresh salads. They want to be a step above. That's why they're blowing other fast food chains out of the water. That's who you'd want to look up and say, well, hey, I know my history. I want to look at what Dave Thomas did. That's who I want to model myself after. Because that chain is successful. And if I could have wheat and I ate meat, I'd go to Wahlburgers. That fast food, that like Applebee's type thing, that I guess he has a reality show. I guess he was that teddy bear movie. He was the guy in the teddy bear movie, that Ted or whatever. He said this, and this is the truth right here. A lot of celebrities shouldn't talk politics. They're pretty out of touch with the common person, the everyday guy out there providing for their families. And I think since he's helped his brother out, with those restaurants and given money and helped, he's seen firsthand the struggle people have in this country. And he's like, I've got all this money and I know what, I don't know what it's like to, holy crap, it's up to $2.10 a gallon. Damn. It was $1.99 the other day. I should have filled up. He's starting to wake up and see, okay, you got a $50 million net worth Molly Cyrus that doesn't have a clue what's going on in this world. And well, if Trump wins, I'm going, well, get the hell out of here then. Get out. If this country is so bad, leave. Go to North Korea and see how good they have it. Go to Mexico. If it's so bad here. I didn't leave when Obama became president. I put up with it. But hey, that's what I was taught. Give back. Fight for what you believe in. And that's why I do this show. And that's why they're opening up Bristol, Tennessee campgrounds. You know, when 9/11 happened, there were businesses that said, hey, we got offices here. We're gonna divide this building in half and you guys can use half until you guys find another place to do business. We're gonna help out all these people. It didn't matter what you believed, everyone came together. It didn't matter. 9/11 wasn't about left or right, it was about coming together as a nation. And why can't we come together now? You know, I kind of, I said this to someone at work because I'm like, hey, you know, we vote. And I've said this to people in mine. People vote with their pocketbooks. Do you think you're better off after 8 years of Obama? Most people would say no. And that's people who voted for him the first time around. I told someone, I said, you know what? I don't feel like I'm better off after 8 years of Clinton, 8 years of Bush, and 8 years of Obama. I would feel like I'm not any better. And I think, and that's why I said before I move on, that's why he got elected. Because they see him as someone that's actually going to do something and not just, because he's not seen as someone that's like trying to get money. He's seen someone that's like, he's got more money than he knows what to do with. He doesn't have to worry about money. He doesn't have to do this. He's doing it because he feels it needs to be done. And there you go, you know. Yeah. If you support me or not, I got an agenda. This is since the early 80s. This is what I said I'm going to do and what needs to be done. And I'm going to do it whether you're with me or against me. And there you go. Whether you supported them or not, the Cubs were going to win the World Series. And what did they do? They won the World Series. What a week we've had. Wow. The other day, Wednesday, Manchester United took on West Ham in a League Cup match in a knockout round. And, okay, within 2 minutes, Zlatan Ibrahimovic gets a goal. And it's incredible. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, okay. Is this going to be another one of those games where it's like, let me see here, like with like 5 minutes left, West Brom scores. I mean, West Ham United. What do you mean West Brom? I mean, West Ham scores. The Wolves. Whew. I get the West teams mixed up more than anything. I don't really get Manchester United and Man City messed up, but I do get West Bromwich Albion and West Ham United mixed up a lot. So I apologize, but I'm like, okay, good's got to come out of this because this is a knockout and we got to move on. And right after, well, I mean, they don't even get the sec. They don't even get like the second half started, and West Ham ties it up 1-1, and then next thing you know, Anthony Martial scores twice, and then Zlatan Ibrahimovic scores again, ends up being 4-1, and just an incredible game. And we play the next League Cup match we play is on January 10th when we take on Hull City. So it's looking good. They looked incredible. I haven't seen a lot of negative about United. The only thing I would say is they're getting shots on goal. They're just not getting into the net. And I hope it's only a matter of time, like with this West Ham United game, that they're finally going to get some of these to go in the goal. Because they've had some games where that goalie's on fire and he's blocking everything left and right. And I think it's only a matter of time before they start to, because I think they're starting to slowly learn each other and know, okay, they're starting to learn to know when to go and when to take the shot and when to pass it, when to go for glory and take the shot. Because if by the time you, if you don't take it right now, you're done. You know, they're going to be on you. You know, so I think I see some promise in the team. I really do. And, you know, Sunday on the 4th, we take on Everton in Premier League action. And, you know, we're 6th right now at 20 points. We're 11 behind Chelsea at 31. And we got to start getting some results, not just draws. We got to start winning some games. And we got to start breaking through and getting balls past the goalie into the net. There's about 3 minutes left in the program, and I want to thank you all so much for tuning in. And it's just an exciting see, you know, the games are just exciting, and it's just energetic to watch. And the only thing I'm getting mad about, because I used to be able to listen to the games, I have like Talk Sport and all these apps where I could listen to, and now anytime I try to listen to them, it comes up with like, that game is not available in your area due to rights restrictions. I'm like, I don't know if they had them on there and they shouldn't have, and then they got had to be taken down. But like, I used to listen to them on like on radio apps, and now they're all blacked out and rights restrictions. You can't hear the game, and some of these like League Cup games, a lot of them they won't really be on TV here. It's only if we only mainly get the Premier League games. You know, usually they'll do like the main FA Cup games, but like unless you get like the Fox Sports 2, you normally, if they're not on there, usually they're not on like the FA Cup or the League Cup. So you just have to watch all the highlights and stuff or online. And but at least we're getting a lot more of the Premier League games, and it's great. And so it's awesome. It's just amazing to see what's going to happen. And if you haven't heard, IU got rid of their football coach. So Purdue's looking for a football coach. IU's looking for a football coach. And so is Notre Dame. Because I guess Brian Kelly's going to possibly. About 90 seconds left. And it's just crazy, you know. But hopefully, I thought by now Purdue would have already have named someone. And that's what a lot of people are saying. What's going on with Purdue? It's kind of like they haven't even come out and said, yes, we're interviewing people, but we're not going to say who yet. You know, they're basically like, well, this is like there were some names that mentioned, but then it just kind of like they're like dropped off the planet on if they're talking to anybody or who. I talked to a couple of friends of mine that have ties to Purdue, and they said, yeah, they've kept their lips zipped on if they're talking to anyone or anyone. They're just kind of like not even saying anything, so. We just have to wait and see, because there's a bunch of people that thought that they would have had an announcement by now, you know, so they can start trying to, because he's got a big task ahead of him, because they got to do a lot of rebuilding at Purdue University, you know. So I just want to thank you all so much for tuning in and everything, and it's just wonderful to have all my listeners out there, and it's great to see that these companies are looking at bringing jobs back, and there's some light at the end of the tunnel. And I hope it keeps going. And with a firm reliance on the mutually pledge each other our lives and her fortunes and her sacred honors. Until next Tuesday, good night and God bless. Goodbye.